If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105 Through the Fan, and our first guest is a cybersecurity expert. Corey Flood is with the nonprofit Big Hope, thebighope.org, and he's going to tell us about how we can protect our private information in this day and age of upgraded technological advances. And he also is going to tell us a lot about thebighope.org up there in Frisco. The nonprofit's helping all the kids from pre-K all the way to the 12th grade, developing a foundation of knowledge and 21st century skills through STEAM and STEM. How you doing, Corey?
Doing good, man. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate your time.
I'm glad you're joining us because I had a chance to meet you last weekend in Mansfield at the STEM.com. And that, of course, not .com, STEMcon. That's the convention, STEMcon, right? Yeah. Everything's a .com world. So I got a chance to meet you at this panel. And I was just blown away with all the things you knew about cybersecurity. But also you mentioned, hey, you're in Texas because in Frisco, you're working with thebighope.org. Can you tell us how you wound up working with them and all the different kind of things that they do with the kids? And we're going to break that down a little bit.
Okay. Sounds good, man. So actually got involved with Big Hope about a year ago. A mentor of mine actually knew of Mr. Oren O'Neill, who is the founder of Big Hope. He's been doing this for about 18 years. I don't know if you know, Mr. Oren used to play in the NFL for the Oakland Raiders. They're now known as the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yes, sir.
When Mr. O stepped away from the NFL, he founded Big Hope in hopes of giving kids an opportunity to learn about STEM, acquiring skills that would help them, obviously, one day as we become adults, pay their own bills and even provide them with an opportunity to get into more high-paying fields. And like you already mentioned, with cybersecurity and AI and just all these different technological advances happening in 2025, the opportunities are really endless. So we really want to help underprivileged and underserved communities to get access to robotics and drones and different types of teachings as they become more and more available. And you know, with our sponsors' help and even with those that donate to our nonprofit, we turn around and run different STEM events and, again, just give back to the community and to these kids that need these kind of opportunities the most.
Well, I love what you're doing. And, again, I'm very impressed with not just thebighope.org and what you guys are doing, but I'm impressed with you in particular because it's not like you're some 50-year-old guy. It's like, wait a minute, you're on top of your game. I don't know if you want to share your age or not, but it's like, dude, you're getting things done. And I think in this day and age, I think anybody from Gen Z, they're not necessarily looking to work in a factory necessarily. They're looking to work in something that's current or can be in the future. In other words, they have a skill set because they're young and their minds are wide open. The world is theirs. Because you want to talk about yourself a little bit more and how, like, this is something that you got into as opposed to being a mechanic?
Yeah. let me just take you back to when I was a kid, because we're talking about, you know, just up and coming youth trying to get more and more involved in IT, in AI, in cybersecurity. My first exposure to IT was actually taking apart my dad's laptop at the age of 12.
Is that right?
Specifically.
Look out. Yeah, so. And all of a sudden you're trying to figure out how to make it work and how to make it. Oh man, that's wild.
Yeah. He wasn't too happy about that encounter, but, I just had this, this curiosity and desire to learn how things work. And even to you ask my age, I'm 27 years old now. And granted, there's so much more to learn. I feel like there's even more people in this field that are even smarter and more aware than I am. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just want to come from it from a humble point of view. But for me, I've considered myself a lifelong learner. So anything that there is to learn, whether it's on YouTube or some of the platforms that I use, I'm sure you're familiar with Udemy, and you know, there's just a whole bunch of different platforms now. The internet is so vast, and learning isn't so much constricted to a college classroom. Because I know I talked to you during STEMcon. I'm a college dropout, mm-hmm. so I never graduated from college. I have my high school diploma, but you know, I went to college for 2 years, and it was like, man, this is too expensive, and mm-hmm. I'm paying out of pocket. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you find ways to network, you find ways to talk to people, you learn some things on your own, and in that same process, you find ways to get back to those who could use that same information and become, I guess, just as successful as you are in the field. So
put it like this: I think a lot of people can relate to you. And I'm glad you told that part, yeah. because seriously, in this stage, I call it a gig economy. In this day and age of a gig economy, there are younger adults who said, well, college is not for me, whether it's like you said, the it costs too much, or this is not one close to me, or I don't like the different things, the courses that they're offering. They're in a gig economy either because they want some flexibility, they don't want to work the 9 to 5, or they like the flexibility of having their own schedule, or that's all they know they can do. And it's about options. Can I do something else where I don't have to have a degree? And so your story says, you know what? As long as you're interested in these kind of opportunities, there's power in the knowledge, and how you get that knowledge could be a variety of ways. Am I wrong?
No, you're 100% right. And really, you could really tie into like TikTok, right? So you have a vast of creators, and streaming is so big nowadays. Like, we're on a podcast now, right? Mm-hmm. If anyone wanted to pick up a laptop, go to a coffee shop, or even like rent a space, like kind of what we're talking about now, and start something from scratch, they have that ability to do so with little to no cost, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if they wanted to start a business, they could do that, right? There's no barrier to entry for starting a business nowadays. Outside of going and filing for an LLC, or maybe if you're trying to do service work like we're doing and serving the community, starting a nonprofit. But the, like you said, the opportunities are endless. So being constricted to a job or being constricted to a classroom or whatever, like, those days are over, especially for a lot of younger folks. So working 20 to 30 to 40 years of your life to what's the retirement age? 65?
Yeah, 65. Working at the plant for all these years.
Right. And they cut you a nice, a little small little mini check.
That and give you a gold watch.
Shoot, gold sticker.
Yeah, for real. For real.
Gold sticker, put it across your chest. But I mean, you're 100% right. And I think a lot of younger folks are waking up, and I'm not going to say younger folks, I think just people in general, they're waking up to the fact that there's endless amounts of opportunities, whether it's money-based, like you're just trying to make more money, or you just want more opportunities. Like, those opportunities are out there.
Right.
As long as you have an internet connection, as long as you have a phone or cellular device, like those things are available.
Exactly. So, available. And you could be as creative as you want. When I speak to kids, when I do career days and whatnot, I always mention them about, you know, we're in the middle of an information social media paradigm, and the fact that the opportunities are greater today than there are in their parents' days, because there's just, you just have to just know. And I give them credit for being, I say, you know what, you guys right now, I'm talking to, like, you know, grade school, middle school, and high school. I say, it's a tech support to your grandma. She don't know exactly how to do certain things online, but you can tell her and show her. Well, guess what? You can turn that into your own career, or you can turn that into your own side hustle or main gig, and you control it individually. And you could either get a staff or you could get a crew or you could partner with people. It's all out there. And I was telling them also, nowadays, whatever you're thinking of, it could happen, you know, 5 years from now, 4 years from now. Yeah. Not just, oh, in another 30, 40, 50 years, the world is going. No, it's at your fingertips right now.
Right. And then you also got to tack on, because I know we haven't touched on it yet, or maybe we have, but with the advancement of AI and programming language models, it's like, you know, you could really search up how to do something today, even if you don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Right?
And ChatGPT or Gemini or a lot of these other AI platforms, they're spitting out information. And I'll tell you too, because we were talking about deep diving into cybersecurity. When I'm doing investigations and when I'm performing like different types of, when I'm doing investigations and I'm trying to find out more information about what different command lines are doing, what different programs are what, you know, ChatGPT is, you know, a big tool that I use to mm-hmm. do my job, right? So,
because it's more nowadays, efficient. It's very
more efficient. More efficient and it's easier than going on a Google search and deep diving through several pages and trying to find that answer, you
exactly.
know? And not to say ChatGPT is 100% correct all the time, because, you know, it even has a disclaimer at the bottom of the screen, like, hey, this information, you know, could be incorrect, so do your research. But like you're saying, like, this stuff is more easily accessible. Information is so readily available. It's easier to get that stuff now.
We're talking with Corey Flood. He is a cybersecurity expert, and he also works with the nonprofit TheBigHope.org. Let's talk a little bit more about Big Hope, because I think it's such a fascinating program, and it's like perfect for today, especially with kids, like you said, underserved community kids. So you're teaching coding, robotics, STEM, STEAM, all of it, and from pre-K all the way to 12th grade. You mentioned how it started. How has it been going, and do you have certain classrooms set up for different ages, or how the project is after school? Kind of describe what the campus is like and what you guys do.
Sure. So currently we, like you said, we serve K through 12. A lot of our emphasis lately has been with the elementary and middle school kids.
Mm-hmm.
When we were working with high school kids, they were doing like drone competitions through the aerial drone competition here in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them either were participating in that competition or they were mentoring younger students that were participating. But the overall scope of what Big Hope is we kind of want to expose students to where technology is headed, not kind of like where we are now.
Right.
Because, like I said, technology is always changing.
Mm-hmm.
So as you kind of see now, like, drones are being used in package deliveries. Walmart's already doing stuff in Dallas here where they're taking smaller packages and delivering it straight to the home.
Yep.
So that, you know, we don't have to hire a driver anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Amazon, too. They have robotics in their factories that basically are like robotic shelves. I got like plenty of videos I could probably share with you once we're done with our call today. But they literally have robotic shelves that are like moving autonomously by themselves.
Wow.
Moving packages here and there to where they have to be essentially packed by a human.
Mm-hmm.
And then put on a truck. And it's cutting down the amount of time it takes to go fetch a package, sort it, put it in a box and get it out the door. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure you were on Amazon today buying something that you needed for either yourself.
Yes,
or
sir. You call me out. It's right. A fact.
And they're promising that you're going to get it today by what, 5 p.m.?
Yeah, they got it right down to the hour.
Right. And it's like the same day shipping is being promised because the technology is there to support the time promise that they gave you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a perfect science, but again, with the ever-growing industry of AI and robotics and drones, it's scary to see where we're headed, man. But this is what we're trying to expose our students to here at Big Hope. And I just kind of want to shout out a few of our partners.
Sure.
We were just at OptivCon, and at the Star in Frisco.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you know where that is.
Been over there a lot of times, yeah.
Yeah. So they were hosting us there to kind of talk about what we do with Big Hope as well. The NFL Foundation and STEM It Up Sports. I know Dr. G was hosting you and I for that STEMCon event.
Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So definitely want to give them a shout out because a lot of those orgs kind of support what we do.
Exactly.
And without them, we're not even able to touch and help a lot of these kids out that could use
some help and some insight. Yeah, and get their foot in the door. And you mentioned the Star at Frisco, the Cowboys headquarters in the Star District. I kid you not, mm-hmm. and I know you've probably seen this. You mentioned the drones earlier. one of the coolest drone videos that I've ever seen in my life. And all you have to do is go on YouTube and put Dallas Cowboys star drone video. And it's a, I know you've seen it, Corey. Have you? Where the drone, it was part of a Cowboys documentary. They were doing a, I want to say it was getting ready for training camp and the whole nine yards, but it was, I want to say it was on Amazon Prime, but all I know is the beginning of this feature, they have this drone goes through the Star District, is out on the on outside and is going down the street, and then it goes into the Ford Center and is right, it's flying around in the floor center, and then cuts
doing
through.
Like an overview, like a video shoot,
yes,
or something.
Yes, and then the drone goes into the Cowboys, it goes through a tunnel, it goes through the Cowboys locker room, it goes into the weight room, it comes back outside on the Cowboys practice field outside. It's like mind dropping. I mean, they did a heck of a job with that drone. And again, that's just one thing drones can do. You know, there's always these drone shows. And I'm sure you've seen them where they have a lot of drones and they're lit up at night. Can you talk about some of that stuff that you've probably seen as well?
Yeah. You're probably talking about like the drone shows.
Yes.
They do. Yeah. I forget the name of the company. Man, my buddy Ali was talking to me about it at StemCon. Mm-hmm. He has a company as well. If I can find that information, I'll definitely.
It's amazing. They just light up and twist and turn and create stuff. And
FC Dallas is partnering with a company that does that. They basically have like a pregame show.
Yes,
and it's just drones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they do like a whole bunch of different colors and lights, and it made like, I don't know if you've seen it, but they literally make the FC Dallas logo, and it's nothing but drones doing it.
Oh, let me tell you something. I'm not. Yeah, I've not seen it, but I'm just saying this. Those drone shows, they're up there with fireworks. I mean, probably better.
Yeah.
Just you can control them better. But you know how people just love to watch fireworks displays. Well, those drone shows are just absolutely amazing at night.
I wonder if they start using them conjointly.
Yeah, that would be fireworks. Smart. Yeah, at the end, at the very end, you know, or at the beginning before the fireworks begin. All I know is that technology continues to evolve, like you said. And the kids need to realize that they have an opportunity, and especially, like you said, in different communities where, you know, they don't have total access to everything. Like, everybody assumes that every kid that goes to school has a tablet nowadays. Well, not necessarily. Sure. Or everybody's household has Wi-Fi. Well, not necessarily. They might have to go to the library to use the Wi-Fi. Mm. So I love the fact that TheBigHope.org is partnering with different groups and trying to make technology accessible to all kids, especially kids who are curious.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this too, because this is something that as we see drones and these type technologies used so freely, you talked about the whole aerial shoot with the Dallas Cowboys. I think what a lot of kids are doing, especially with Stem It Up Sports, they're using these kind of tools to compete, right?
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things we're doing pretty soon, we're doing a drone showcase at the school. I don't think I mentioned the school, but it's Paul L. Dunbar Elementary.
Okay.
Big shout out to them. We're going to be running a drone showcase for some of the students that participate in our after-school program.
Mm-hmm.
Basically it's going to be their parents, and maybe we might, I don't know if we're going to open it to the public quite yet, because I know it's part of their like field day events.
Mm-hmm.
So their families kind of get out, come out and watch them fly in a competitive team of four. It's about maybe 10 to 15 students per team, and they're basically competing against each other, similar to what the whole aerial drone competition's like here in Dallas. We kind of missed that time window this year, but to compete, you know, against all of the different Dallas schools. But again, you talk about exposure, like a lot of these students have probably never touched a drone, never don't even know what a drone is, don't even know what propellers are, stuff like that. So again, it's just exposure and getting these kids used to touching these kind of things, because again, downtown Dallas and South Dallas, a lot of those students, like you mentioned, they don't even know what a drone is, as crazy as that sounds. And they probably never even touched one. So it feels good to give back to that community and serve these kids the way that we do. So it's definitely a good feeling for us.
Tell a little bit how thebighope.org can get the kids. In other words, how can the parents or the guardians get the kids involved with you guys? Is there just go to the website and sign up? Tell people how they could possibly get involved.
So yeah, our website even has, if you go to
it's nice, by the way, real nice.
Oh, you seen it?
Yeah.
We just revamped it, man. I'm glad you like it. So we have a page called Our Programs. There's a Calendly link that we made. We made it very, very simple because what we would have is schools and different orgs reach out to us and say, hey, you know, we want to get in touch with you guys, but we don't really have enough information, or like, how can we connect? So we made it real, real easy. If you go to our website, go to Our Programs, there's a button that says Meet With Us right underneath where it says Let's Get In Touch. Whether you're a school, a vendor, or a, you know, just an individual trying to expose your kids to STEM technology, we would love to work with you. We would love to, again, bring some of our tools out to kind of show you what is really, really possible. So yeah, if you guys want to get in touch with us, you can definitely use that link. Also, if you want to get in contact with us via email, the email is contact@thebighope.org. And like I said, feel free to reach out to us with any questions you may have, or if you're a STEM academy or even a school that's looking to integrate STEM for your students, we would love to learn more about how we can help serve you and those students. So
also online, you can find that information if you want to volunteer, if you want to donate, if you want to be one of the partners that Big Hope, TheBigHope.org has. And by the way, Big Hope's primary goal is to enhance and accelerate STEAM learning for pre-K to 12th grade students, helping them develop foundational knowledge and 21st century skills. This is going to create pathways to future academic and career opportunities while fostering a more diverse STEAM workforce. In other words, opportunity for all, even if you might have, you know, certain handicaps. I don't want to say handicap like that, but I'm just saying if you, because I know an organization that works with kids who are blind, and they actually, because people are like, wow, I don't know if my kid, yes, there's opportunity for kids or adults, even if they're seniors, to do things and have jobs or have something to look forward to, you know, worthwhile, even if they're sightless. So there's opportunities everywhere is what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely don't want to limit the kids in any aspect. And like you had already mentioned, a lot of those students probably who have, like you said, are handicapped or maybe suffer from a disability, right?
Yeah, any kind of disability.
They're not disabled from participating in stuff that we do. So we definitely want to make sure we emphasize that too for any of those schools that maybe have students like that, maybe that are discouraged in that way. Definitely don't want to limit them in any aspect. So,
well, Corey, I'm also wanting to pick your brain. We're not going to let you get out of here until I pick your brain about cybersecurity. We're talking with Corey Flood. He's the cybersecurity expert with the nonprofit TheBigHope.org, about how we can protect and all of our private information in this day and age of upgraded technological advances and hackers and all kinds of things out there. Because you and I were talking last week, and I was like, oh, my God, I had no idea.
Oh, you love that Bluetooth one, right?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to let you go ahead and tell everybody about Bluetooth, because most people use Bluetooth and sometimes leave it on.
Yeah. So just to give them a little rundown of what we were talking about last week. So the big emphasis, I think one of your questions was, what's the biggest threat currently, just like in corporate America or even just in the world, period? It's phishing and social engineering.
And that's phishing, right? with a PH, right?
Right. Phishing with a PH. You got it. I know some people were probably like, fishing on a boat? What's wrong with fishing on a boat? But
it's Texas. We like to boat fish.
Yeah. No, I definitely love fishing. I mean, definitely got to go sometime if that's something that you do. But basically, phishing is it's different types of phishing. So you have like what you guys have probably been getting recently with like little toll scam messages. Hey, you're behind on your tolls. You need to pay, or we're going to take your car back or revoke your driver's license and all this other stuff. So scammers are finding ways to be more and more creative with the help of AI, even though that's not the use case for AI. They're using AI to generate these very, very realistic text messages to send out to mass audiences in a term we call smishing. So S-M-I-S-H-I-N-G, smishing, SMS phishing. Then there's the malicious URLs that we probably see in those emails that are obviously not genuine and not authentic. So threat actors and hackers are sending either emails from domains that look like PayPal or look like, you know, Zoom or look like, you know, legitimate companies.
Google.
And they're attaching these. Yeah, Google too. And it's, and they're sending it from these non-authentic domains. So if you look at one of the things I shared last week was when we're looking at these emails, first of all, are you expecting something like this, right? Were you expecting an email from someone saying, hey, you know, we need you to submit credentials to verify this bank transaction is, you know, true and authentic? Were you expecting that? Did you see anything on your bank statement that even showed a transaction, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times in these emails, there's typos. The email obviously right. isn't even from that org or that company. Mm-hmm. It's from a Gmail account or from a Hotmail account mm-hmm. or a Yahoo account, right? Mm-hmm. So those are dead giveaways that I kind of shared last week. And a lot of people, when they see these emails, they're not thinking about breaking these things down. They're like, oh, my account's compromised.
Yeah, I gotta fix it. I gotta fix it.
Right. Exactly. So it's a scare tactic, it's a fear tactic, and it's a way to rush you into doing something without thinking first.
So Corey, on an email, would you say first thing you need to do is look at that return email before you do anything else? Just look to see if it says PayPal some kind mm-hmm. of way on the email part, the return email. Right.
First that, but also, again, are you expecting this in the first place?
Right.
Because more often than not, again, and they say it all the time on, like, if you ever call your bank, they'll say, hey, we'll never contact you mm-hmm. to reveal any sensitive information, to right. get out your codes, passwords, none of that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So again, if you're not expecting it, just delete the email, yeah. right? There's no point
don't in even open or it.
Don't even open it. Just close it and delete it, block the sender, right? But to your point, yes, you can verify if that domain or that email is legitimate, because again, if it was from PayPal, it would have that at paypal.com. Right. Or if it was from your bank, it would say at that bank domain .com or .org, whatever mm-hmm. that, you know, affiliate suffix is. But yeah, just eliminating, I wouldn't even say common sense, because, you know, it's not common to everybody, because not everybody's tech literate. Using your context clues in these kind of situations to break down, is this legitimate? Is this benign? Is this authentic? Right. And then the last one that we were talking about, and this is more advanced, because again, with the advanced AI tools, people are able to take advantage of different voice simulations that sound like human beings. Right. Mm-hmm. So you'll get a realistic call. I think the example I used last week, it was an IRS agent. Right. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, you know, I'm Ben from the IRS and you're behind on your 2024 tax payments. And if you don't pay, we're going to garnish your paycheck. We're going to garnish, you know, whatever. Right. So again, threat actors are smart. It's tax season.
Yeah.
I'm going to start sending out mass calls mm-hmm. or mass voicemails and a majority of messages to overwhelm people during this season, because they know people are going to be paying their taxes. People are going to be making payments. So maybe I can scam somebody into revealing, you know, sensitive payment details or sensitive, you know, get people to pay money they don't have to pay, right? Mm-hmm. In a way to steal sensitive information or to get money from them. So these are kind of like the small things that we shared last week. But I know you said you want to dive into Bluetooth, right?
Yes, sir. And by the way, we're making notes on all these little tips you've given us so far. And this is building up to the Bluetooth, because my jaw dropped on this one.
Yeah. So I asked the audience to take out their phones. It didn't matter if it was an Android or an iPhone or any other phone that you have. People, majority of the time, walk around with their Bluetooth on. And for good reason, right? Maybe we have AirPods in our ears. Maybe mm-hmm. we have connections we're making to different devices that are on our hip or on our wrist. Like, we wear Apple Watches. We wear different type of, you know, third-party accessories that are connected via Bluetooth. However, with Bluetooth being on, you make yourself susceptible to different types of Bluetooth attacks. So one of the ones I shared last week was talking about blue snarfing, right? So I think the example I gave was using a Flipper Zero, right? And we've mm-hmm. seen this on, I've seen it on YouTube. I've seen it in like different demos. People have used Flipper Zeros for a multitude of reasons. And if you don't know what a Flipper Zero is, it's a small Bluetooth device. It basically connects on like 2.5 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz frequency, which is typically what we see on Bluetooth. Maybe a little less if it's like a smaller device, like an IoT device. And that's an Internet of Things device. So like little smart home devices, like Amazon Alexa, and mm-hmm. you know, those little smart devices in your home. A Flipper Zero operates on those same frequencies. So basically what it's able to do is either communicate with these devices, or we're able to take data from these devices. But with blue snarfing, you can use a Flipper Zero to connect to a device, and typically it's a phone.
Whoa. Right?
In compact areas like a coffee shop or like an airport.
Mm-hmm.
or just compact places where you're around other people, right?
Right.
I could have a conversation with you right now, Chris, and we could be in public, and I could have one of these devices on me, and I could ask, I can extract data from your phone using one of these devices, and you would never know.
See, that's the scary part. Yeah.
Right. Shake your hand, smile, have a good day, and go out the store with all your data.
That's where I'm looking at the crowd when you said that last week, and everybody's head was like, no.
It's like, I see those people switch off Bluetooth immediately.
Yeah, I was lucky. I had mine off because I generally only turn it on in my car. And the only reason I'm real adamant about my Bluetooth, and I didn't even know about that people could do that. I just knew that when I was in my house, I'm like, okay, why is my Bluetooth on? Oh, yeah, I need to turn that thing off. So I would turn it off. Right. That is the only reason that I would keep my Bluetooth off most of the time. But most people, it's just on. It's just because it's too convenient. It's just too convenient. Yeah. And you can conveniently give up your data. In other words, the data, it doesn't leave everything. They just get a copy of it? Or does it leave your phone and equipment?
Basically, what it does is it wouldn't take it off the device that you currently have.
Right.
So basically, it is making a copy.
And you're compromised.
Yeah. Right. It could be your messages, right? Your phone calls, your voicemails. Contacts. If you have like certain devices that don't use the proper authentication or proper encryption.
Encryption.
Mm-hmm. Those things can be compromised, right? And again, I kind of want to emphasize that because a lot of people get this confused. Nothing in this world is 100% secure.
Nothing.
Right?
That's right.
Nothing. So this is just one of the threat vectors that we're seeing attackers use. And it's not new. Like Bluetooth isn't like something that just came out in 2025. This is something that we've used for centuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, again, it's an easy way to get, you know, minimal access to people's devices or people's devices that are connected to the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we use them every day. So it's like there's terabytes upon terabytes of data on your phone and even on your laptops and personal devices that people can compromise. And again, I just want to emphasize too, before we touch on something else, those networks that we connect to in coffee shops, I know I didn't really get to emphasize this because we kind of were going through a panel. Those of us that use different coffee shops and maybe go out to study like I do, a lot of us don't really use VPNs. And what a VPN is, it's a virtual private network. It basically uses a tunnel from one end to another. So let's say you were connecting to Starbucks.com.
Mm-hmm.
All that information that tunnels from your device to that site, that HTTP site, is encrypted. So no one can come from, they can't be a man in the middle saying, oh, let me extract data from this. And even if they are successful, again, that data is encrypted.
So you're basically saying that one's pretty safe.
It's pretty safe, yeah. And we see people using it for good purposes, like benign purposes, but we also see hackers using it when they're trying to maybe perform like DDoS attacks, which is like a distributed denial of service attack, or if they're trying to gain access to something without revealing who they are, because that VPN uses a IP address that is tied to that VPN. So it's not tied to your device, it's not tied to you, right? So basically you're anonymous using a VPN. So you can kind of understand why that could be used for good and for bad, depending on the use case. But my whole point was in these public spaces, there are readily available VPNs that are free, so you don't have to pay for any. I use Proton VPN. I use Hotspot VPN sometimes if I'm just, you know, out in public and I don't even want to have to fiddle through all the settings of using the Proton VPN. But there's plenty of different tools out there to secure your devices while you're out in public. Because, I mean, obviously, if you're just using a network and you're exposed and all that data is encrypted, again, hackers and attack or threat actors are able to access your data without you even knowing it.
This is just wild, you know, the angles that people can, you know, attack your technology. And I mention this because sometimes, like you said, they target seniors or older people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they target younger people who are more casual with the way they use their social media or whatever. And they also can target just anybody. And I say this because we're having that conversation that anybody is vulnerable and just kind of have to be aware. But also they target major corporations, government agencies, the whole nine yards. In fact, I'm going to give one example, and I'm sure you can break down why they would. Remember about a year ago, AT&T got hacked and it messed up everybody's phones for a while. And maybe for like a day. It was crazy, wasn't it? And they said we got it under control or whatever. It was minimal, but they got some data, didn't they?
Yeah, got a whole bunch of data. And I think a lot of those customers were impacted too.
Yeah, that's what I meant. They got the customers' data.
Yeah. And even like some of the third parties that partner with AT&T, like those clients or those partnerships rather, were also compromised as well. So there was no bubble around what access those hackers got when they got access to that data. Mm-hmm. It was basically everybody. If you were attached to AT&T, period, you were impacted.
Yeah.
Right. And I know there's different partnerships now. Like you got like different, I think Metro, who did Metro partner with? I mean, they're with T-Mobile now.
T-Mobile, Metro, I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can imagine different types of cellular companies that are kind of merging and bringing all these different types of data and technologies together. A lot of that stuff is not secure. And I can tell you based on, again, going back to that whole Bluetooth example, we leave certain settings on that we shouldn't even leave on, right? On certain personal devices, mm-hmm. right? And it's not that we're not trying to secure our devices. We're just not aware mm-hmm. of what's out there and what settings we should be using to protect ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And granted, you can't protect yourself from a breach. If you get breached and that company has your data, I mean, you're kind of doomed in that way.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I can kind of see people becoming more and more numb when they hear about, oh, this company was breached. It's kind of like the norm now, right? Because everybody's getting breached.
It happens so often, yeah. And like you said, it's not everything's totally secure, but you got to be alert to it to a degree. And that's where you have to be grateful if your bank or your credit card company or your job has, you know, third-party verification, or they ask you, or they have you to confirm a 6-digit code or something. And those are the things that extra steps to keep your stuff safe, your information safe, because information is huge currency around the world.
Yeah, it's basically called multi-factor authentication. Or
that's
MFA.
It.
So
yep.
it could be a code, or it could be sometimes they ping your device. Mm-hmm. If you have like the bank's app on your phone, they'll say, hey, is this, let's say it's a transaction, right? They'll say, is this transaction approved? Is this really you?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it could be really useful if it's, you know, a really bad transaction and someone's trying to access your stuff. And it can also be kind of annoying when you're trying to travel and they're like, hey, you know, you're based in Texas and we got a transaction maybe from Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're traveling and seeing family.
They want to make sure.
You know,
Yeah,
100%.
Well, let me say something, Corey. Your information has been vital. Got to get you back on the show again real soon. He is Corey Flood. He is a cybersecurity expert with the nonprofit TheBigHope.org. They're a quality nonprofit based out of Frisco, helping the kids with the STEAM and the STEM. Thanks again, Corey. We'll talk to you again real soon, okay?
All right. Thank you for your time, Chris. Really appreciate it, man.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And joining us right now, Rob Cahill and Mike Crum. They are co-founders of 4Down, a skate park in South Dallas that has evolved into a unique service-driven community hub, distributing thousands of pounds of food each week to kids and families and more. Fellas, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, no yeah. Doubt. In fact, it's been a couple of years, but at the same time, I'm still impressed with how you guys do what you do, and you got a place where the kids can skate. But more importantly, it's like it's become a place where it's its own community. And Rob, I was just talking to you earlier, a little earlier, and you said the last visit you guys had with the show, somebody was actually just listening to the show, and the next thing you know, they became a partner in the whole process of what you do, donating all kinds of stuff.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. What happened was, you and I had a great conversation and the subject arrived at food waste and how we're sort of dealing with a system that really produces a lot of waste. And we, in fact, take advantage of that and try to rescue it, distribute it, and things like that. And what happened was a man by the name of Mitch, who is in charge of One Lineage, which is one of the largest logistical sort of frozen food services in the entire world. What they do is they manage, you can imagine astronomical amounts of food around the world in these vast cold storage areas. He heard about that and, they're quite interested in avoiding food waste as well. That's the name of their game. And when he heard about that, he felt compelled to come on down, meet us, get involved. Before you know it, their employees were getting involved. And that even led to a One Lineage Foundation grant that came along later in the year. That was a huge game changer for us. So good looking out to One Lineage and good looking out to you and your following out there listening right now.
So basically they're now part of what you guys do because you got the community cold storage. Is that the area that they're expertise in?
Yes.
Right. Right. So we have our community cold storage that we built and we use it for food rescue 7 days a week, but they have facilities that are like as big as shopping malls and 60 feet high and they stay at like 2 degrees, right? Because they're, but what happens is occasionally they do have issues and where they're not able to distribute that food. And some of that frozen food is now part of our growing food system that we continue to have success with because there's just decent people out there, especially among your listeners that are inclined to help. So thank you.
Exactly. You guys have a lot of different programs. I'm going to mention the programs. Then Mike, I want you to break down how you guys got started again. You got the Sunday Service Food Rescue. You got the Community Cold Storage, as I mentioned, the Composting and Recycling Hub, the Regenerative Farm and Vertical Ramp Vertical Farm. You got the City Lab High School and Big Tech's Urban Farms and 4Down Internship Programs. This is just so amazing. All off of skating. Mike, can you talk about how 4Down is international skate destination and celebrated, supported by the global skate community? Because that's where it started. Then you said, wait a minute. There's more going on down here in South Dallas than a lot of people know.
Totally, totally. So, I'll take this. So, I'm a ex-professional skateboarder. I did the X Games and all that. I'm from Dallas, moved to California. And when I moved back, I wanted my own vert ramp. That's what you see in the X Games, like the big half pipes and stuff. So it kind of started out, maybe not selfishly, but just kind of doing a thing for us, and then it kind of grew from there, doing art shows, and the community needed it just as much as us. And it has just organically morphed into this wonderful, wonderful community. with everyone working together, just to help our community, to help ourselves. And it's just been an amazing ride how many wonderful people we've met doing this.
How many years?
We're having our 10-year anniversary event May 17th. So as a nonprofit, we started a little bit before that, but as a nonprofit, our 10-year anniversary is May 15th, but our event is May 17th. So it's really cool to be celebrating with everyone.
Mike, tell us about the event, or Rob, either one of y'all. Y'all just back and forth, break this thing down, because I'm all ears now. This is exciting.
I'll take the skate. We're both skateboarders, but we talk about different things. I mean, we're getting top-tier talent, probably the best skateboarders Dallas has ever seen. Arissa True, she's 14 years old. She's the youngest gold medal Olympian from Australia.
Wow.
And then we're getting the oldest Olympian Andy McDonald, who's 51 years old, who I grew up skating with in the X Games and stuff. So we're having all different levels of skating and age. So it's amazing. People are coming from all over, from different countries, from different states and everything. And it's going to be a wonderful high action day. And then Rob can elaborate more on the community stuff we're doing as well.
Right. So because of Crom's background and where we come from with respect to pro skateboarding, I mean, we are really getting the best modern day skaters from over 10 countries right off the top of my head. I can think of, along with, the legends, the all time legends are coming in as well. So Chris, you're not the only Hall of Famer that we know.
I got you down.
Yeah, we got two coming.
we have numerous Hall of Famers coming. And to do art shows and play music, because when you're a skater, you sort of learn this process that results in continual growth and ever, everlasting evolution in a way, if you continue to follow it. And so you can, that as people, maybe their physicality, athleticism declines over time, but who they are and their essential nature always has to continue to grow. So that's how we are. That's the cultural basis and the ethos that we come from as skaters. And that's been sort of the foundational basis of our local culture and community that, these aren't exclusive qualities. There's people that feel this way and sort of from broadest ranges of life, any kind of person you can imagine. So, but it is the cultural basis that we've grown and Four Down has continued to evolve from. And that's why you see, all these different things we're doing. It's just when you get into something over time and over 10 years, there's quite a bit of evolution, especially when you're not afraid to take risk and you're not afraid to learn and you're not afraid to sort of get involved and be helpful, even though you're not an expert. You look up 10 years later and you are an expert.
And that's something.
Yeah. Skateboarding has definitely taught us, constant, evolve, learn stuff, do new stuff. So it's a great thing.
Let me tell you how skateboarding is just so big. I mean, everybody knows it anyway. Tony Hawk, he's like the figure. He's like, wait a minute. He's like Ronaldo or Messi. He's like the guy. He's the man. He's LeBron. He's the man.
Exactly.
So, and even, to this day, he's still on commercials and stuff. So skateboarding is always relevant. And then you tie into the Olympics as well. So this is just an amazing thing. And I'm looking at the 10-year anniversary for Four Down, and it sounds to me like you guys are putting on a festival.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. And even if you want to take that, one of our foundational members that's been friends with Crom since they were, they were team riders and friends since they were teenagers. And he's always been around Four Down is Kareem Campbell.
Oh,
He's on the Tony Hawk video game. He's the second most popular player behind Tony himself. So that's how close we are to just the highest levels, right? Of all this. So we're really lucky that through Crom and Kareem and all that, we get to bring in that Thrasher magazine covering us. That's over 6.5 million followers on Instagram, and all these Olympians coming all for free just because we're part of the global community. And so what we're trying to do is intersect that with our local community and really just show that we're in this sort of intergenerational, international sort of mindset of just trying to be helpful and have fun and have a good time.
Mike?
Yeah, and it's awesome just because, there's these top Olympians, legends, all that, but they're just walking around, talking to people. Yeah, it's great. People definitely get to get up close and personal with everyone.
By the way, Four Down fosters the sustainable health and well-being of kids, families, environment through programs provided recreation, education, cultivation, conservation. You guys are just amazing. And so, again, I'm grinning here because you look up and it's 10 years, you grind for 10 years, like, wait a minute, look at the stuff we've accomplished, and now we're going to have a big event, a big festival in May, and everybody's going to be there.
Yeah, so we got to get you out there.
I'm definitely going to swing by for sure.
Awesome.
So with that being said, let's talk again about how it started with the skating, but then you said, wait a minute, we've got a culture here. We got a community here, and everybody's hanging out, and we can help them with their lives, not just the skating part. We can not only connect and, you know, the mental wellness, but also the food and the kind of family kind of things, that the little things that people just kind of need.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Crum can talk about his own version of that, but I think it's first of all, Crum, you tell me, I think that we first discovered within ourselves that we had needs. We didn't necessarily know what those needs were. We thought it was just as simple as skateboarding, right? Mm-hmm. But when we established a place and all that, we started to realize what we really needed was a safe haven, a place for
right.
us to
right. There you go, the safe haven.
To express our values, our attitudes, our way of being, right? And we didn't realize that that was all culture. That's community. So once you discover these things about yourself and all that, then you start to sort of apply these concepts in a broader way. So, Crum, what do you think?
No, I mean, you just noticed, like, you know, how much everyone needs each other. Positive mm-hmm. place to be, growth, constantly evolving. And it's just everyone's in it for the right reason. You know what I mean? It's like, we're not trying to advertise stuff. We're not trying to do that. We just all love each other and everyone works hard. No one would be there if they didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah.
So it's a thing of empowerment because you're choosing it, right? And a lot of times our volunteers in our service community, they're the very same communities we serve, which oftentimes are the most vulnerable community,
yeah.
right? We don't require anybody to show their IDs or anything like that or demonstrate some great need. We just trust. We're not fearful. We take risks and we trust ourselves. And it's as simple as that, man. I mean, so it's a contagious thing, too. Once you start, you know, being helpful and all that, you feel really good. You realize how much you've helped yourself and just continues to grow based on that.
You know, yeah, what? Keeps us young, too.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Exactly. Keep you young and involved. And it also keeps you on top of everything. And also makes you feel better. You feel like you've contributed.
Yeah.
With that being said, you've got to talk about the Sunday Service Food Rescue, about feeding hundreds of people each week. You want to grab that, Rob or Mike?
Yeah, Rob, you got that.
I will start off with this, and because Crum still does deliveries himself. He still personally takes boxes every week and takes it to certain families, people in his neighborhood that he knows don't have access, right? So he's a humble guy. He's not going to mention stuff like that, but, you know, since I'm on the radio right now, I'm going to say it. So thank you, Crum.
Well, thank you.
But we're led, you know, it's funny because the very same people who've come in the past and maybe needed a little bit of help, before you know it, they're running our programs.
That's right. So they volunteered and all of a sudden they're involved.
Yep. Yes. That's exactly how it works, because, you know, everyone's humble, everyone's cool, everyone's respectful, and everyone recognizes that we all need help, man. Mm-hmm. We're all saints, we're all sinners, we're all good, we're all bad. Can we create environments to be helpful? And in doing so, we find help ourselves. So our coordinators, shout out to Stephanie, shout out to Elizabeth, all our volunteer food drivers, because, you know, they're going out to different grocery stores around DFW, picking up, you know, five or six different Whole Foods locations. Now we have Trader Joe's as well. We want to continue to grow. So shout out to HEB, Kroger's, whoever else might want to get on board. But we have local farmers and Big Tech's farms at State Fair and others that contribute. So we're really about trying to get fresh, healthy groceries rescued. Well, and the thing about that is, if you don't rescue it, it's going to create harm in the landfill, right? Environmental
exactly. harm. You're doing it the right way. In other words, it's not processed. It's not canned or box food. We're talking about healthy, fresh, perishable food. Food that's real, that needs to be eaten.
Absolutely. And if you don't eat it, it's going to create harm in the landfill, which is what led us to becoming, now we're experts in composting of all things.
That's right.
Futuristic, back to the future sort of composting program that now we're even partnering with Rubles on. It's been a journey, and we're trying to deliver some solutions, man.
So this part of closing the loop thing, that program you're working on, the closing of the loop?
Yeah.
Closed loop food system demonstrated right at Four Down. So all the way around, you think about cultivation, you think about aggregation, you think about circulation, and then you think about regeneration, right? Because we need to really focus on regenerative systems. Not every system In America, you know, quite often most of our systems are very extractive and harmful over time. And you look at it, that's unsustainable, right? So, you know, I didn't set out to be some sort of an environmentalist or something like that. But if you're always trying to make the most and not waste, you end up arriving at things like environmentalism without even knowing it.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-boggling every Sunday when you see how much food was going to be thrown away. And it's perfectly good, amazing food.
Meanwhile, Dallas has one of the largest food deserts in the country, almost all of South Dallas. Mm-hmm. And the levels of disparity between, you know, a couple miles is, you know, the difference between North and South is sometimes 12 years in life expectancy, man. So, you know, food and things like that are at the heart of that.
With that being said, and again, you guys do an amazing job and amazing work with all of these different programs. And Mike, you like you said, you go out and deliver. So you're delivering people who can't get to the four down location. In other words, they might be sick and shut in. They might not have transportation, whatever it is. You're just like, you know what? I got you down. I got you down. I got your stuff for you, man.
Exactly. Makes my day every Sunday doing it for sure.
That is fantastic. And it all started with a skate park. And tell everybody where exactly the skate park is and where your headquarters is and how people can partner with you or even volunteer, because people want to know what you're doing is you're touching hearts and changing lives.
Yeah, well, we're right outside of Deep Ellum, kind of between Fair Park and Deep Ellum, and it's just a rundown industrial area. But the funny thing about it, there's a lot of food distributors around us.
Yes.
You know? So now we're trying to get that food that would be going through the dump to us, either for compost or for the people. But anyone can come and volunteer, and anyone can come and get food as well, too. And obviously, anyone can come and skate. We're 100% free with everything we do.
Yeah, on a daily basis, we're a safe space for the kids. Do you know what I mean? And no alcohol, no smoke, no weapons, no guns. And we take it to another level too. We even say no hate, no gossip. You know, it's not like we regulate.
Keep it uncomplicated.
We just try to suggest that we should have higher level conversations and have higher level behavior. You know, and we're here having fun. Everything's for free. In a situation of abundance, we should have, you know, we should act accordingly, right? And that's sort of what we're suggesting about everything. If people felt safety and they felt like their needs were met, would they behave better and would we see better results? And so far the answer has been yes. So all those things you mentioned, recreation, education, cultivation, conservation, those are all things that have grown out of this basic idea that if you really think about it, our only rule is really the golden rule. So here we are talking maybe on a Passover Sunday and going right back to some original teachings, you know, Sermon on the Mount and all that.
Okay, Mike, I got one for you. This is like a generic question, but I'm sure there's somebody out there listening is thinking the same thing. I like to skate, but I don't have a skateboard yet. Can I even learn if I go over there?
Well, we're actually doing a 100 board giveaway and a 100 pair of Vans shoe and stuff. Mm-hmm. Basically, all the local skate shops around DFW are nominating kids for this. We're going to have, you know, kids from all over getting brand new skateboard, brand new pairs of shoes and a helmet. And they're actually going to get taught a lesson or, you know, little skate, little tips from all the pros that are there. So they're going to be talking to Olympians. And then once a kid gets on a skateboard and feels comfortable and notices he doesn't have to be the best, you know, it's just everyone. That's what's so awesome about skateboarding. You know, you'd be an older guy, younger girl, whatever. We all get along and bring each other up.
Yeah, it's a culture of encouragement for sure. And you start to lose this sort of fear of failure because you learn to trust yourself. You start to realize you're tough. You can take risk. You can calculate risk. You can try things. Yep. There's no failure, right?
Right.
So it's sort of four-wheeled freedom for the rest of your life once you face that. So that's really what it is, right? And, you know, we've got 100 pairs, brand new shoes coming from Vans, professional skateboards, professional helmets. That's like $350 worth of stuff per kid times 100 kids. And the kids are coming from DISD, which over 90% of those kids are below poverty. Mm-hmm. They're coming from Texas Native Health. So there's a large Native American community around that we really work with quite a bit and we love a lot and many others. So shout out to our skate shops that are helping and everyone helping in the community. But at the end of the day, it's about spreading love. And that's really what
it does as much for us as it does for the kid. Just seeing the light bulb go off when they get their balance or something and enjoying it. It's amazing.
What's some of the age ranges?
I mean, the board giveaway is what, 8 to 18? Is that correct?
Yeah. That's great.
For this event. But I mean, skaters, I mean, there's 8-year-olds ripping on vert ramps these days. It's nuts.
I'm always impressed.
Moment I see somebody from 6 years old to 60 years old, all on the same ramp, same time and place. So it really
for real. Yes.
That's crazy. What's the busiest day of the week for you guys as far as the skaters out there?
Well, Wednesday we call it grill and chill. All the skaters can basically go grocery shopping for neighbors, for their families, for themselves. When everyone jumps in, helps organize the food, but then we also grill food and we all skate together. So it's just an awesome, positive day every Wednesday. But yeah. I mean, there's skaters there every day, you know, but grill and chill is kind of everyone's coming together, you know, type day.
Yeah. Grill and chill in particular every Wednesday afternoon is so cool because the very people that are getting together to feed people are also getting treated to a cookout. So we feed the people that feed the people. And we even have a flower rescue at this point. We're giving bouquets of flowers.
What?
Beautiful flowers. Flowers rescue.
Bring just it home, take it to a neighbor.
Yeah, just in time for the blue bonnet showing up in April, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. But the thing is, you can do beautiful things and be in harmony with nature, even if you're in what looks like an industrial armpit that we're surrounded by, right? Like, we should feel like we're not cut off from nature, and we should act according to our natures, right? And be abundant, be helpful,
get along. Exactly. It's not just the concrete jungle out here. And that kind of ties into the fact that you're eventually trying to get the regenerative farm and the City Lab High School with the farming internship program going. And the fact that, you know, like I said, it's about everything. It's not just the ramps and the skateboards and the concrete and the sidewalks. It's about different kinds of farming and saving the food and getting the food to the people, fresh food.
Right. Exactly. So if you're interested in, you know, making social impact and helping in that way, or if you're interested, for instance, in making environmental impact, the place those things intersect is the food space, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we just started to recognize that. And like anything we do, man, you know, being skateboarders, our name Four Down means rolling forward, right? So we're always going to go forward with whatever we're doing. And in this case, it means that our food programs and the growing of it and all that, you know, we're really looking at that because the way food is made in this world is unnecessarily harmful. Mm-hmm. The food that we make is unnecessarily harmful. And then the way we dispose of it is unnecessarily harmful. So we're taking all those unnecessary parts and showing you a better way of doing it right on the spot at the Four Down campus.
It's called being fit and mental wellness and fitness and also eating right. And it's all right there with Four Down. Tell everybody again about the big event, the dates, and how long in the day it's going to last. Does it start at 8 a.m.? Does it start at 10 a.m.? Just tell us some more about the event so that we can have some particulars. And again, wrap it all up again with the Four Down website.
Yeah, so it's May 17th is the event. The official event is from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start out the day with the board giveaway and all that. So we're going to start by giving back. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is free. So every now and then we got to do a fundraiser.
Yeah.
So there is a cost to get in. You can get those on our website. We'll say that later. But it's just going to kind of build up. We're going to have an indoor art show. We're going to have skate expeditions with some of the legends. And then we're going to build up to the Olympians and stuff. And there's going to be some bands and a DJ. It's going to be amazing food out there. It's just going to be an awesome, awesome day.
Yeah, chef-prepared food by some of our partners like Francesca Noor and Dive Down, Dive Cuisine there in Snack Plaza. So, I mean, we've got chef cuisine. We've got art by Hall of Famers and music and all sort of things. Films, conversation, community, you name it. A lot of fun stuff all day long. And when you look at the ramp, you're going to see some of the world's most talented skateboarders who have ever rolled. I mean, it's really going to be impressive. And a lot of them are women. You got to understand, these days,
girls,
women, they are ripping. They're
getting it done.
Unbelievable.
They're getting it done. There. It's going to be amazing. And by the way, for more information, go to the4down.org. Rob and Mike, thank you for joining us. And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.